Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of the American Ninja Warrior Recap Podcast on Rob Has a Website. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong. I am here with Lita. How are you, Lita?
I'm great. Excited to be back.
So, yeah, last time we kind of jumped straight into the recap, but I figured some of you may not know who we are. So I as I mentioned, I'm Taryn Armstrong. I do a Big Brother podcast with Rob Cesternino from Survivor, but don't hate me for that. I'm a huge fan of Ninja Warrior and Sasuke. I've watched since it was on G4. I continue to watch Sasuke. I really love Sasuke. And I've watched American Ninja Warrior since the American Ninja Warrior challenge that they did to send people to Sasuke back in the day, which makes it even more sad that they're not asking people like David Campbell back, but whatever.
Not bitter.
No, not at all. So yeah, that's me, basically, in a nutshell.
And I'm Lita Brillman. I have been with Rob Has a Podcast as an intern for News AF with Rob, Tyson Apostle, and Danny Bryson for a little bit over a year now. And when I was watching American Ninja Warrior, I thought, why isn't there a podcast for this? And I got lucky and was partnered up with Taryn to do this. I haven't been a fan for quite as long, but I've been watching for a few years, huge fan of the show, and I will definitely start watching Sasuke because Taryn and the listeners of the podcast have gotten me so excited about it. And some of my favorites from American Ninja Warrior are going to be competing soon.
Awesome. So yeah, what have you been up to? Anything interesting?
Well, I started a new job this week at the History Center here in my hometown. So I'm really excited about that. And the Penguins, my hometown's hockey team, are about to take on game 6 of the Stanley Cup. So pretty excited about that.
Yes. And as everybody who knows me knows, I'm a huge fan of sports and I completely understood everything that you just said. So getting into the episode, we had a couple new obstacles here, the block run and the pipe fitter. What did you think of these things?
I think the block run was not super different from any of the other agility things that we've seen. I think if you can kind of do one, you can do them all, whether it's running across floating steps or not the floating steps, that's a different obstacle, but the lily pad things that they have sometimes, yeah, or different things like that. So this one didn't seem like a huge curveball for anyone. And the pipe fitter was interesting. I was down on it at first, but then by the end of the episode, I kind of changed my mind because the reason I didn't like it at first was because there was this rule that you can't use your legs on it. And it's one of those few obstacles where they sort of like impose a rule that isn't intuitive. It's just like, okay, here's your rule. You're not allowed to use your legs. Like you would want to use your legs instinctively. So I felt like it limited a lot of creativity. But then by the end of the episode, it actually encouraged a lot of really creative approaches. And we saw people work around that rule in really interesting ways. So then I kind of changed my tune about the pipe fitter. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm usually with you on that. Like, it's not as fun to see people have to take an obstacle on in a certain way. It's more fun to see them kind of have to go all out and use everything in their arsenal to manage to get through it. That said, you know, this is one of those obstacles where it's difficult for the people who tackle it first to get through it because they don't know the proper technique. And I think we saw quite a few people attempt this obstacle who probably would have been able to get through it had they just run later in the day because they would have seen the proper technique, which I think is interesting. It's all, and I like that it gives people a chance to be the first person to do it the right way, but then also it's a little unfair to the people that go first, but such is Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, there's definitely a huge all-star advantage, not only in having the experience, but also automatically going towards the end.
Yeah,
if you're one of the more anticipated runners.
Yeah, and they also always get the Palm Wonderful Run of the Night. So.
Yeah, do they insert that after? Because that would be pretty embarrassing if they forgot to give a crazy healthy run of the night, and then one of the all stars just like, you know, totally biffed it, and they're like, "Wow, no one was crazy healthy tonight."
Yeah, I'm sure they do it. They do it after. And I've seen people complain a lot because when they save it for the last run of the night, you know that it's going to be a great run because they still haven't awarded it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So hopefully they start changing that up. But our first runner was Danny Gallagher, a 24-year-old app developer. And this guy had an interesting run. He had a roller coaster of a run, pretty much almost falls on every single obstacle all the way to the pipe fitter and even makes a good attempt at that.
Yeah, it was a very ugly run. I thought it was kind of weird that we didn't get a package at all for him, because they kept talking about, like, oh, this guy is Captain America. He dresses up as superheroes and visits kids in hospitals. Like, that would be a really, really good material to put in a video package. So I thought that was, and he had like a respectable run. So I thought it was kind of weird that we didn't really learn any of his background. But
yeah, it was definitely weird, because then he has this crazy, interesting run. He makes it all the way to the pipe fitter. You would expect him to have a big presence on the show. It's like, I mean, I guess he goes first, but usually, you know, the first run is saved for somebody that's not particularly interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's also weird to see someone go to like the second to last obstacle first at all.
Yeah,
like you almost never see that. We got some good Akbarisms out of Danny Gallagher's run, though. Wrap that sucker like a burrito when he was on the when he was on the pipe fitter. I also think that he's one of those people that if he had just seen it done right first, I think he probably would have done a lot better and maybe even finished it.
Yeah, exactly.
He just really seemed like he didn't know what he was doing on a lot of obstacles, but he managed to get through them all without much technique. But on the pipe fitter, you can't just muscle your way through it. You have to have some technique.
Yeah, and he went the going under when he went up the first part of the pipe fitter, and we quickly learned that was not the way to do it, because it wastes a ton of strength and you can just go on the top side of it and use your lower body instead. But he didn't know that.
Yep, such is life.
So yeah, next was Michelle Velez. She looked like she had a lot of potential, but she's the first victim of this Big Dipper, which was a huge contender against these athletes. Her fingers just peel right off of it.
Yeah, I was actually wondering, even when I just first saw the Big Dipper, obviously, you know, we'd seen it before, but I almost wonder if it's too early in the course. But, you know, I don't know what you would switch it with. It seems so hard.
Yeah, it's like comparing it to the TikTok of last episode. It seemed like the TikTok was much easier. You just needed to make sure you knew the right technique. You make sure you got your legs around it. The Big Dipper is like, you have to have perfect timing. You have to release it at the perfect time. You need to make sure that the bar is steady going down. And then you need to be able to, you know, propel yourself into the air, grab the net and land on the other side and do all of that while maintaining your grip.
Yeah, because there is impact when you hit the bottom.
Exactly. So yes, very difficult. And this is in line with those kinds of obstacles, like the TikTok, like the rolling log and stuff like that. But I think it's probably one of the most difficult ones that we've seen.
Yeah. And I love the rolling log. So I always want to see more of that. I really do. I think it's so fun.
Yeah, you love watching people spin around.
Yeah, because not only when they're done, they're a little like shell-shocked, they're also dizzy. And yeah, I think that's really fun.
Do you prefer the like big fat rolling log or the skinny one that they introduced?
Oh, well, I prefer anything that benefits shorter contestants. So probably the thinner one.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard to hold on if you're like wrapping your entire body around it, whereas the taller guys can have a little bit of leeway.
Yeah, especially if you like watching them being disoriented afterward. The skinny one having more rotations probably.
Yeah.
Helps you with that. Next up was Booty Cothran. He's a church media coordinator, 47 years old. He's 5'6" tall and 110 pounds. I feel like Matt just loves this guy because he loves being able to say his name all the time.
Yeah, and he brought his whole booty bandwagon.
The booty bandwagon is his fan club.
Yeah, I did not know that churches had media coordinators. This must be a really hip church. Also, can't believe you didn't mention he's from Possum Kingdom, South Carolina.
Possum Kingdom, yeah. I didn't catch that, actually.
Yep, that's the name of his hometown.
It sounds exactly where I'd expect him to come from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In his package, it was him running around Possum Kingdom, scratching his back with a machete. This is kind of the night of like crazy people. This is like where they sent all the like really entertaining, but like talented crazy guys.
No, yeah, you're totally right. I mean, we even have, you know, we later in the night get Crazy Craver.
Yeah, Crazy Craver.
So yes, definitely a crazy theme, especially with, you know, the farmer and everyone that is going to be running. Booty is probably the first of the night that we're going to see this kind of thing. Like I said, I think Matt had a lot of fun with this. He said, friends and family have come all the way from South Carolina to watch Booty.
Yeah. And there's a Booty chant going on in the crowd where everybody's chanting Booty.
Yep. And I believe Akbar said at some point, booyah, Booty.
Of course he did. He also is coming off of a super weird exit last year that I sort of remember, where he got to the platform after one of those agility obstacles and just like fell off. He was just like too fast when he got to the platform and fell off once he was actually on the platform, which is really disappointing.
Too much momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens. He does really well here. Another person where probably with the right technique, he would have made it, I think.
Yeah.
He went under on the pipe fitter instead of over, goes on to the middle section backwards and just isn't able to flip himself around to grab the final part with his legs. And he just tries to make a jump and just falls right into the water.
Yep. But overall, good run. I was not expecting that. Given his size and stature.
It's strange because, again, like I think if he runs later in the night, then he is probably one of our qualifiers for the finals. Booty, yep. Cawthron. So, yeah.
Sure, I'll be back next year.
I'm sure. With his whole Booty bandwagon.
Yep.
So next we got our first montage. I feel like we got a lot more of these this episode.
Oh, yeah. Tons of montages.
I think I like better because we at least get to see something of these athletes. This was kind of like a wipeout themed montage. Everybody had a big crash. Jonathan Sharp Brown starts out on the floating steps and just kind of crashes.
Yeah, and he was a walk-on, so that's so disappointing. Oh, he lasted like 4 seconds.
Just imagining how long he waited just to crash on the floating steps. At least he got a little part of a montage. Next was James Bartholomew, who also had a big crash on the Big Dipper, just kind of straight into the platform and into the water.
Yep.
And then Cassidy Marks, he, I believe, was the guy who was on the spin cycle and he made the dismount, but the momentum just kind of carried him straight off the side of the platform.
Yeah, that looked hard.
Yeah. And it's like, usually, you know, they go into the water and they have that moment of just like, oh man, I just lost. I'm in the water. And then they come up and they're like, yeah, you know, whatever. But when these guys fall off the side, you see it change on their face. Like his face was just like, oh man, what did I just do?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the wipeout montage. And next up we had Ralph Cordero, the 31-year-old realtor. He calls himself the Colossal Ninja. He was 225 pounds. I think Matt said he was the heaviest athlete of the night.
I would buy that.
Was this the guy that he really wanted to prove that like you didn't have to be, like you could be heavy and still, you know, do the obstacles well?
Yeah, his slogan is break the mold.
Right.
He wanted to show that different types of bodies can do the American Ninja Warrior course, which is true. He just maybe not.
We kind of see it later in the episode that, you know, bigger people can do it. Unfortunately, though, I have written in my notes, he peels right off the Big Dipper, probably a little too heavy.
Ooh, yeah. It was probably from his neck chain. He had a atrocious gold chain, probably added a lot of poundage to his already not slight body.
He really went for broke. He should have followed the guy who we will watch later, who is very heavy, but also very good, Mac Rush, who wore a crown.
Oh,
it was,
yeah,
just like a paper crown, though.
Burger
Maybe
King.
He should have wore a paper paper necklace thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That just would have got him just under the weight limit to get past that Big Dipper.
Yeah, definitely.
Next up was Steven Brickhouse, the baggage handler. This is our first sob story of the night.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's about his father who got into an accident at a steel mill and was paralyzed from the waist down. Devastating hearing this guy talk about his story. You know, he's lying on the ground and people are saying he's not going to make it. I cannot imagine what that must have felt like.
Yeah, this episode, I think, got me with the sob stories a lot more than Universal Studios did. I think there were some ones that really, really choked me up and made me really root for these people. And this was the first one all season that I've been like, I am really rooting for this guy just because of the story. I mean, their family was so positive and his dad was so supportive of this. And yeah, it was really well done.
Yeah. And as I believe Matt pointed out, perfect last name for American Ninja Warrior, Brickhouse. There was hashtag Brickhouse on the bottom of the screen. Yes. But unfortunately, he on the block run, he skipped the first block and stepped on the second block a little too far down, which completely threw him off balance, and he wasn't able to complete it. And we saw a few people do this. I think he's one of the only people we actually see fall on the block run, but it seemed as though if you skip that first one, that's probably a mistake, right? Because you're putting even more weight on the second one and giving it more opportunity to spin on you and for you to lose your balance. So it seemed like light, quick steps on all of them, or at least on the first few, was probably the way to go. But unfortunately, he does not do that and he falls on the block run.
Yeah, I think if you gather enough speed and are light on your feet on the first few, we saw a lot of people just kind of jump over the last couple to save time or to, you know, save possibility for error. But if you're going to skip blocks, you have to do it at the end once you have your footing.
Yeah. Next up was Erica Cook, the 27-year-old gym owner. She used to be a course tester, and she was on Team Ninja Warrior with Drew and James. Great team. And I had high hopes for her. She's like very intense and serious and awesome looking.
Yeah. 5 feet tall.
Yeah. She said she joined the elite group of women who've made it up the warped wall.
Which is getting less and less elite every episode.
But yeah, she was hardcore throughout her entire run.
Yeah.
She had like a really serious face.
Yeah. And she has the most beautiful Big Dipper of the night. It's just like gorgeous and smooth. And, you know, she does go out on the spin cycle. But when I was watching her, I was thinking like, wow, she really knows how to use her body. Like she got up there and just immediately started swinging her body to get that momentum. She really just has this tiny wingspan compared to so many other people that she just couldn't quite make the transition to the second spin cycle.
Yeah, it was interesting because, like you said, it felt like she was able to do it, but she just kind of got hung up on that second hoop and hesitated a little too much, I think, going on to the third, and then eventually just tried to make like a jump and just wasn't able to do it, which is unfortunate because I think she had a lot of potential. She's probably someone we'll see as a wild card, I imagine, I think, right?
Maybe. I feel like we've had a lot of interesting women that, you know, were very, very close that I think they'll want to bring back for wild cards. So I am only hesitant because she doesn't have the biggest personality.
That's true.
So I'm not sure if she'll be a fan favorite that they want to see back, but I liked her. I remember her from Team Ninja Warrior and impressed with her.
Yeah. So next up, we got Casey Sahaki, the engineering student. This guy was a walk-on, waited for weeks to get on. I imagine this walk-on line is getting longer and longer every year.
Yeah.
And the people who make it on through it are that much more incredibly dedicated. So I expect anybody coming in on a walk-on to probably do pretty well.
Yeah, well, that's true. But also there's an enormous amount of pressure because
I can imagine,
if they fail, then every other person in the walk-on line is mad and feels like they would have, you know, done better had they gotten their chance. So
yeah, and you just spent weeks with these people.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like people like Jonathan Sharp Brown, who got montaged, who was a walk-on and only lasted 4 seconds. Like, you know, part of that might just be the enormous amount of pressure from representing the walk-ons, being one of the few chosen.
Yeah, but knowing he was introduced as a walk-on and then we immediately got like a whole package with his grandpa, I thought this was good news for him because if he's a walk-on and he has a package, probably did pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has his grandpa. He kind of like trains with him. He's inspired by him. Nothing too crazy. Certainly like a sweet old grandpa, though.
Yeah. He's a welder. He helps him build obstacles because it's very clear that this guy is like a super fan. He's been watching this forever. His grandpa is saying, you know, that boy just loves that American Ninja Warrior. So he helps him train, builds things for him.
So here's the thing, though. The one thing that bothers me about this guy, it looked like he was chewing gum throughout his whole run. Am I crazy there?
I did not notice that. That seems like a hazard.
It's like it looked like he was chewing on something the entire time. I was very confused. Like, who would want to chew gum or like anything while doing a run? But
We'll talk about J.J. Woods later, but when he went to Christine, he was also already chewing gum. And I was like, where did he get that? Like, I guess you would know how much time is between falling and going and talk to Christine. But on TV, it looks immediately. It looks like it's immediate. So I don't know. Maybe these people love to chew gum while they do their runs.
Yeah, sometimes it's immediate, or somewhat immediate at least, because like the next person is running behind them while they're doing the interview sometimes. And then sometimes it's a little bit later and they'll like splash water on themselves to be like, yeah.
Just fell.
Yeah, exactly.
I was so disappointed. Yeah.
But yeah, J.J. Woods, I feel like, I mean, he's got to have some gum in his mouth, right? Like that's just part of his look. I feel like.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just not as gum observant as you. Because I didn't notice that until I saw.
I'm eagle eyes with gum. Yeah. I'm
yeah. Like, nothing gets by you.
You have gum in your mouth right now, don't you?
Yeah. So that bothered you? Why is that?
I was just like, why are you chewing gum on while you're running a course? Like, what is this?
I don't know. Maybe
I liked the guy back in the day who wear like headphones and like listen to music and jam out the whole time. That was fun. But yeah, gum, like what are you doing chewing gum? And you know, for all I know, this guy didn't chew gum and I'm just like a total jerk right now.
He didn't have time to finish his snack before he ran. He was chewing celery.
Yeah. So yeah, he is the first person that we see use the top side of the pipe fitter to get up that first tilted pipe. And he just like flies up it, just kind of hops.
Yeah, he does the Mowgli climb.
The Mowgli climb. Yeah. Is that the Jungle Book?
Yes, but you may know it from Survivor Cook Islands, where they refer to Ozzy.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was a very Ozzy-like climb. You know that Ozzy competed on American Ninja Warrior once, right?
No. How'd he do?
He did not do well.
Oh, no.
He went out pretty quickly. I don't remember which obstacle it was. I think it might have been the second.
That's probably because he just assumed that he didn't have to train for it.
Right.
And that like his attitude was probably the problem.
Yeah. For non-Survivor fans, Ozzy is like the best Survivor challenge competitor that they've probably ever seen. And he totally failed on American Ninja Warrior. So that's a good scale for the two competitions.
Yeah. Was this before or after he dated Lindsay Lohan?
I didn't know he dated Lindsay Lohan.
Well, we've gotten really off track of American Ninja Warrior, but we're learning a lot of things.
Lots of things, definitely. So yeah, he's the first person to use his legs to get up that top side of the pipe fitter. He manages to get across. He's the first person to clear it and then goes straight up the warped wall. And he is our first clear of the night.
Yeah. And he even winks to the camera while he's holding onto the warped wall before he pulls himself up.
Yeah, we got about like four different angles of that. So very smooth.
Yeah, they love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Note to future contestants, wink to the camera on your way up the warped wall and you'll get a bunch of replays.
Yep.
So then we went into the next montage. And this was all Big Dipper wipeouts. So even more specific than the last one. We got Corey Hammond who crashed on the Big Dipper. They all crashed on the Big Dipper. I mean, there's not much more I can say.
Yeah, there's not that many ways to fail on the Big Dipper.
Yeah. Corey Hammond, Becca Heaton, and Dan Dobek. Each one got a little bit further, a little bit closer to completing it, but they all fail here. So yes, unfortunate for them, they were in the wipeout montage. Then we got Rodolfo Burgos, I think is how you pronounce it. He's the 33-year-old dentist. He is the guy who chased chickens around. That's what I remember most.
Yeah, well, I really like this guy because he's a dentist for patients with special needs, which is really interesting. And he has...
I love how that's what you remembered. And I just remember that he chased chickens. I think it says a lot about me, unfortunately.
Well, I also remember the chickens. I mean, this is the year of the reality show Chicken.
Yeah.
And yeah, he has some cute daughters and a lot of chickens. And he had some really incredible resolve on the course. I was really honestly surprised by like how much he really cared. Like you could just see in his face, like how hard he was trying on all these things.
Yeah. This was also, like you said, this was kind of the episode for crazy people. It was also kind of the episode for like really big people, like tall and heavy.
Oh yeah.
Lots of tall and heavy competitors. Mm-hmm. And he is one of them. He's like, he seemed very tall. Mm-hmm. His like scrubs shirt was like way too short for him. I was very glad when he took it off because it was just like, it's not working for
you. You didn't like his scrubs crop top?
No.
That's a look. You know how all the experienced ninjas have t-shirts with like their slogans on them or whatever?
Yeah.
You're going to see a bunch of people next year wearing Scrubs crop tops.
Oh man, I am not looking forward to that. Yeah, he struggles on the pipe fitter. I mean, this is what you talked about. Like, he really showed like a lot of determination on his face as he tried to get across that thing, and he managed it. I was pretty surprised, especially given his size, but he could not get traction on that warped wall.
Yeah. Were his shoes wet, or were they just like the wrong shoes to be wearing for the warped wall?
They could just be the wrong shoes. They could have been wet too. That course gets pretty wet, even if it's not raining or like moist out. Just when people, you know, when people crash into the water, water gets everywhere. They do their best to wipe it down between mm-hmm. runs, but it's still pretty slippery.
Yeah.
So that might have been what we saw. It might have just been his shoes. It might have just been his technique.
Yeah.
It could be a number of things. And you'd think somebody as tall as him, he would have had an easier time at this, but just isn't able to get traction on that warped wall and is just short of the old line for the warped wall. So he wouldn't have even made the old one, fortunately. Yeah, and I think he is the only person the whole night to fail at the warped wall. I don't think anybody else fails the warped wall, but it is just barely enough for him to qualify for the finals.
Yeah, and he was surprisingly nimble also on the block runner. Mm. I mean, like you said, he's a really big person and he just sort of danced across those. I was very impressed.
Definitely. Next up, we have another montage. Quite a lot of these. And this was, again, lots of wipeouts here. Not quite as like big wipeout-y kind of thing. This was more of like a this is what happened kind of thing. Alice Nimmo, who crashed at the Big Dipper. Nathan Klingensmith, who, again, he was another person. He just kind of went right off the side of the spin cycle. You need to be careful about that dismount. And then Kale Alexander. I need to be better about writing how to pronounce these names.
Yeah, C-A-L-L-E. I don't know.
He wasn't able to make that transition on the pipe fitter, which is where we saw a lot of people fail. You know, either the Big Dipper or the pipe fitter transition. Those were like the big areas where people were just not able to handle it.
Yep.
Then we get Mike Chick. He is the defense attorney, 39 years old. Matt tells us that he handles very high profile cases, but then did not tell us what those high profile cases were.
Well, he's a criminal defense attorney in DC, so I would imagine might be for things like politicians. And
well, he later on says that he's a big guy about the death penalty, and he's saved every client he's worked with from the death penalty.
Oh, right. Yeah. So
I imagine it has something to do with that. I mean, that's a very noble cause in my eyes. And also just like seems like a really cool guy. Very goofy. Likes magic tricks.
Yeah, he was definitely our next stop on like the crazy train.
Yeah.
This episode. This guy's a total weirdo. Like, obviously, like brilliant, both at American Ninja Warrior and what he does. But this guy's a total weirdo.
The ninja lawyer. Yeah.
Yeah. And he trains with Jeff Britton.
Yeah. There were. It seemed like there were a lot of people that trained with Jeff Britton here.
Yeah, he gets around. So I was expecting him to do pretty well. I wasn't expecting him to be as talented as he was, because he just nailed it.
Pretty much everyone that trained with Jeff Britton, I think, like completed the course. So
yeah,
train with Jeff Britton, guys. If you're an athlete and you want to succeed,
maybe he's really selective about who he takes on.
Maybe. I don't think I'm like breaking any like hot news here, but yeah, train with Jeff Britton.
Yeah.
He played defensive back on the number one high school team in Virginia. I wrote that down.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what that is.
I don't know either. I think it's football, but yeah.
Oh, I meant what the high school was. It is right. It is football. You nailed it.
I'm really good at this.
Yeah. I wondered if it was like a prestigious school or something. I don't know. I lived in DC for a while. And I did not learn the number one high school team in Virginia.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Nor had I heard of this guy, but, you know, now he's really made a name for himself.
Well, yeah. Very high profile cases, Lita.
Yeah.
He break dances right before he goes on the pipe fitter, which I thought was an interesting choice. I feel like when these guys do their move, right, their for camera thing, it's mm-hmm. usually before the obstacle, I think, that they are nervous about.
Like, oh, yeah.
He wants to make sure he gets in the breakdancing before the pipe fitter, just in case he falls on the pipe fitter. But he doesn't. He manages to get through it and he clears the course.
Yeah, that's a good observation. We'll have to track that when the people who do dance moves do them and how often they fall on that obstacle.
Definitely.
But yeah, he just he just nails it.
Yep. Next up was Ronald Washington. He was the Fish and Wildlife Officer. Also, awesome name, Ronald Washington.
Sure.
You're not a fan of the name Ronald Washington?
I don't know. This guy, he was what, you know what bothered me? He was one of those, my job has prepared me for American Ninja Warrior guys, when like his job has nothing to do with American Ninja Warrior. He's a Fish and Wildlife Officer in Florida. And he's like, sometimes I have to go like respond to people getting attacked by gators. So I'm prepared for the Big Dipper. Like, what is the connection here?
Well, all he has to do is pretend that there's gators in the water below, and he's just going to clear any obstacle.
But he's probably the least afraid of gators of anyone who's ever tackled this course.
Yeah, he's just going to want to jump down into the gators.
Yeah, he would be fine. He knows how to handle them. Everybody else can pretend there's gators down there. But anyway, yeah, so that was a little off-putting for me. But he had cool pants. Mac and Akbar really liked them. They had a long conversation about how much they like his pants.
Well, you know, when you have cool pants, you got to talk about the pants.
Yeah, exactly.
What stood out to me was he just like flew across that Big Dipper. It looked like he was flying. He was very excited about it, too. He got very enthusiastic, but he couldn't really figure out the spin cycle. It seemed like he was very, very strong. Like he kept his arms at those L's the whole time, which we don't usually see on the spin cycle, which I think is part of why it messed him up. He couldn't really get his momentum working properly, but he almost kind of pushed through it, but was not able to make the dismount. Half his body landed in the water.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those really, really unfortunate exits where you land it, but you know the bottom of your feet hit the water, and that's just like by 2 inches, you would have been fine. It's got to be really tough to swallow.
Oh yeah, so that like that the panther guy from a season or two back who twice in a row just like dipped his foot in the water, like oh man, that must suck.
Yeah, if he just had one shoe size smaller.
So next up, Spencer Wyckoff. This was our next sob story, and it is a sob story.
Another one that really, really got me. I mean, it's not a secret that I cry at almost every episode of American Ninja Warrior, but this was the first one that really, yeah, it's a really sad story. His sister has muscular dystrophy, and he's done entire obstacle courses carrying his sister on his back. And she really wanted him to compete in this because she's physically not able to do these things. So he decided to go on American Ninja Warrior.
Stop it. You're going to make me cry again.
I'm a gifted storyteller.
Yeah. Obviously they knew what they had here and they promoted him like crazy, but yeah, very, very touching story. Also underreported how ridiculously tall this guy is. 6'7".
Oh yeah.
That is just crazy. We also got some I noticed some interesting quotes. I think it was Akbar. You see him getting pumped up? He's from Hotlanta. He's hot. He's doing it big. Sure. I don't even know what half those words mean.
Well, I mean, they're all in Hotlanta right now. I guess he's just the first person who's from there. So Akbar was just saving that. But he could have said that about anybody.
Is Hotlanta like a common way of saying Atlanta?
Yes. Yeah, okay. That actually is a nickname for it. It's hot there.
Okay.
Both culturally,
very clever,
and physically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very clever. But Akbar amazingly did not come up with that.
Oh, disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he does really well. You know, having a lot of height can help you on a lot of these obstacles, but the weight is definitely not helping on the pipe fitter. He tries to make that transition, but is just unable to. He's just way too heavy to be doing this pipe fitter obstacle and falls right into the water.
Yeah, he did a good job of being aware of his body, though. Like, I was worried that just going down on the Big Dipper, his feet would hit the water just while he was hanging because he's so tall. But he seemed pretty cognizant of that the whole time. I think if he had a little bit of practice on the pipes and learned how to sort of manage his body on that, he could have done it. He seemed really strong.
Definitely. Next up, we got Neil Craver, who I must say, I was kind of neutral on him last season. I'm all in on Neil Craver. I love Crazy Craver this season. I thought he was awesome. I like that his intro video was just like extra fire this year.
Yeah,
like, more fire everywhere.
I don't love his affinity for fire. I don't know. Makes me nervous when I watch him doing a salmon ladder over fire.
But he's Crazy Craver.
I'm aware but I feel like he could come up with a different, get some alligators. That would be more crazy. Just getting them underneath your salmon ladder.
Well, he's a photographer. I don't think alligators are as like photogenic as fire.
That's really insulting to alligators. but yeah, so I'm glad that you like him. I'm still, I think, where you were last year, where I'm like, this is fine.
Yeah. Something I noticed was that I remembered last year, his girlfriend, Grace Jones, who just like, this was kind of the reason I was kind of neutral on him last year, was because they had his girlfriend do a whole segment about how awesome he is and how great he is at everything. And yeah, it really stood out to me. And then this season, new girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I actually, I'm glad you pointed that out, because I remember thinking last year, his girlfriend is cute. And I also thought this year, oh, his girlfriend is cute. So I guess just two different cute girls. Good for Neil Craver.
Yeah, I mean, because Grace Jones competed on Team Ninja Warrior with Team Stratisfaction.
Oh, wow. How could I forget?
Yeah. Interesting development there, I guess. So, yeah, he dominated the spin cycle. He was through that thing in seconds. I think this like Team Ninja Warrior experience was definitely a huge help here, because they had the spin cycle there. He just got through it like super fast. And then he's also the first person we see to really just dominate the pipe fitter as well. He was able to use the momentum to swing across those middle pipes, and instead of having to like push himself across with his arms. And that was a huge difference. And we saw most people who attempted this obstacle mimic this technique. I don't know if he was the first person to do it at the actual competition, but he was the first person that we saw do it on the show. So definitely very impressive. And he completes the course in by far the fastest time, by over like a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. And he also, I believe, upped his gold sorority girl temporary tattoo game this year. He and his girlfriend were both covered in those.
I mean, he's normally covered in them. I don't know if he was more covered in them this time. I guess we'll have to like do a screenshot analysis.
See, it seemed more obvious this year, but I mean, he looked good. He's obviously an incredible athlete. I guess he's just not the type of personality that I take to as much as some of these other people.
Yeah. I watched this time his he did like the 24 before thing, which I thought was interesting, because you know, you see Neil Craver on the episode and he's crazy Craver and he dominates the course. Interesting to see, like, you know, even he before he runs gets really nervous and like has to center himself and kind of like be isolated and all that kind of stuff. So interesting to see. I'd recommend people check it out.
Yeah.
Next, we get another montage. This one is, for the first time, not a fail montage, but a very disappointing one for me. Because first we see Jonathan Ruiz, and he manages to clear the course. And then we see Travis Rosen.
Yep.
Gets montaged. What is this nonsense?
I just have three question marks next to this segment of my notes. I have no idea why they did this.
I just wrote so dumb.
Yeah.
He's legend. Like, he's so good. And he almost won Team Ninja Warrior. His team came in second. He's always been really great. He's been the symbol of, you know, he's aging, but just continues to dominate the course. But yeah, I mean, I just feel like, why are you skipping over Travis Rosen? He's one of the best.
We might be entering the era where they're starting to phase out these older guys.
I mean, we definitely are. I mean, between David Campbell, you know, Noah Kaufman.
Yeah, these veterans can't get respect.
And Paul Kazmir, who are like not being asked back. It's just, come on.
Yeah, some questionable calls for sure.
And then we also see Sean Murray, who we've seen compete before and done reasonably well. He is the legendary wakeboarder that they love to have on, but he gets montaged because he just kind of fails at the Big Dipper.
I mean, as legendary as a wakeboarder can be, I guess.
Supremely legendary, apparently.
I mean, can you name any other wakeboarders?
Well, I couldn't name him before American Ninja Warriors.
There you go. So even at the legendary status of wakeboarding, it still gets you montaged.
Yep. Next, we get Mac Rush, the 28-year-old construction worker. He nicknamed himself the King of Obstacles. What do you think of Mac?
I don't know. Nicknaming yourself something like the King of Obstacles is a bold move, but he did back it up. I thought his package was a little arrogant. But, you know, if you can put your money where your mouth is, then I guess that's fine. I wasn't expecting him to do as well as he did because he had that quote where he says he's been applying for the show for years and he thinks that the reason he never got on is because they didn't want someone who could win. And that's why they didn't cast him. And I didn't know that they would show that, that kind of dig at the show if he finished. But he did. And he backed up everything he said.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I feel like maybe because he applied four times and couldn't get on, he really amped his package up this time and was like really like all out arrogant, because it seemed to me, and I'm kind of skipping ahead a little bit here, but when he clears the course, he looked shocked. He looked surprised that he did it despite all the arrogance. So that was, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good strategy to get on the show. Just ramp up your personality to the extreme.
Yeah. And something else in his package, the editing was like really funny, actually. I don't know if you noticed this, but as he was speaking, they would do like big text come in with like big sound effects, like 6'1", 220 pounds, 30 straight pull-ups, 45 second 40 yard dash. Like these lists of accomplishments that are just very silly.
Your height is definitely an accomplishment.
Yeah, to like pump him up even more, to like add to this arrogance of the package. And I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, that's why I really didn't think that he was going to do well.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought this was a little bit of a Dodo package.
It felt like the Chad Soros package.
Yeah.
But yeah, and he says that I'm not like all those other athletes who are cardio freaks and lightweight, because I'm sure they're all cardio freaks. And another thing is that his dad is McDuff Rush, who is a professional wrestler from the 90s. I tried looking him up and I couldn't really find anything. So
is there minor league professional wrestling?
Maybe I wouldn't even know. We need to get Alex Kidwell on the podcast.
Yeah, or anyone except the two of us
yeah,
would know more about professional wrestling than we do. But that sounds like a legit professional wrestling name, McDuff.
It does. It really does. But yeah, so he clears, keeps the crown on the whole time. Everybody's very impressed, including myself.
Yep.
Next, we get another montage where we skip over yet another Team Ninja Warrior competitor, JoJo Bynum, who clears the course. And then we also get the Brazzy Bros, Alexio and Lucas, who also both clear the course.
I was happy about that. I remembered them. They're fun.
I remembered their names. I can't really remember their personalities, to be honest.
Yeah, they're brothers. They train together. That's their gimmick. I didn't need to see them run. They were some people that I was okay with being montaged, but I was glad that they did it because, you know, a lot of these montage people I don't even remember. So
yeah. Next up was Josh Phillips, the 37-year-old IT director, who used to work 90 to 100 hours a week, but his wife told him that it was over, so he made family a priority.
Yeah, I love when they have them like recreate dramatic events in their packages. There's like a black and white shot of him like putting his head in his hands in the elevator as his marriage is falling apart. It's like, what was the producing on that? Like, look like your marriage is in trouble and you're coming from a long day of work. Like,
yeah, those elevator shots in particular, like there was one where the doors were just closing on him with like a very serious face.
Like, yeah. And it's like, they were saying that he was like overweight when he was working all this stuff. So it's like, well, he looks exactly like he does now. So we're not getting the full effect of how much this job was ruining his life. So that was kind of funny.
Yeah, and it was weird because his job title was IT director. I don't know if that's the job that was the problem. Like, I don't know what his steps that he took were. What was his job? What did he do to fix it? It was very vague.
Yeah, well, he got in shape and that fixes everything.
It does. And appearing on Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, it fixes drug addiction. It fixes, you know, your marriage, which is surprising to me because I always think about how some of these guys just like have jobs and then also are like full-time training for American Ninja Warrior, but like have wives and kids. So it's like,
it's a balance.
Yeah. Does it really make you a better father? But it did for this guy.
Yeah. Cause I think he said that like he trains kind of, he makes it a family occasion.
Mm-hmm.
He also, I noticed, does yoga. So I imagine you love him.
Oh yeah. Absolute fave. I didn't even catch that he did that. Oh, yeah. They mentioned like, oh, he's flexible because he does yoga as part of his
Yeah,
training.
Yeah, that was basically it.
Okay. Well, great.
And also his friends in the audience, they tried to spell out Family Ninja with letters and were just all jumbled just and completely failed. Out of order.
The Firmly Ninja.
Yeah. So that was interesting. He almost falls in the block run, but manages to get through it. Very good on the spin cycle. He's got a really long reach. Again, another really tall guy. He also kind of struggles on the pipe fitter, and he's not able to make that transition like many other athletes before him. But Christine in the interview talks about how great it is. And no, don't mind that the kid is crying. They're happy tears.
Yeah, his wife is holding this daughter who's just inconsolably sobbing, and they're just not addressing it as they're giving the interview. And then at the end of the interview, he's like, yeah, well, I'll be back next year and I'll do better so we don't have to deal with this situation. And Christina's like, oh, they're happy tears. And they are not. They're just not happy tears. This girl is just so upset.
Yeah, they really wanted them to be happy tears. You're not convincing us of that.
Yeah. He did put up a great effort on the pipe fitter, though.
Yeah, I like this obstacle because we really see them struggling, and you can see as like the juice just runs out of their arms just as they slip down into the water.
Yeah, graphic.
Yeah. Next up was Brittany Reed, and they were promoting her like crazy throughout the episode. 29-year-old insurance agent, and she moonlights as a fitness model.
Yep, and she rides motorcycles and is really excited about it.
Yeah, that makes her really awesome because people think she's just a nice face to look at and they underestimate her, but she loves subverting that.
Yes, because she rides motorcycles.
Exactly.
I am not a huge fan of motorcycles, full discretion. I do not like them. So if I sound a little down on Brittany Reed, that might be why. And just she seemed to have, you know, quite the chip on her shoulder that I don't know was super necessary. She was one of those people who's like, oh, people don't like me or people underestimate me because I'm pretty, which is like valid in some circumstances. But most of the ninja women that we see are absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see Meagan Martin being like, you know, I have a pretty face and I'm girly, so I have to prove people wrong. I mean, I think that's a valid concern. But if your whole ninja run is around breaking stereotypes about blonde women, you know, I don't know if that's the best motivation.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't think it came off the way that the show wanted it to necessarily. And they might have been pushing this angle with her. So like, I don't want to judge her too much. They might have been asked, do you think people underestimate you all the time? Don't you want to prove them wrong?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a slight misstep on their part, but definitely a very impressive run, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to say that I dislike her. I think it was just, like you said, a misstep by production because she's a model. It's like we're going to push that she faces all these barriers as an athlete because she's a model. But she is 5'9", which I think helped her on the course.
Oh, yeah. And what I really enjoyed was that every single time she cleared an obstacle, she just like freaked out.
Yeah, she was so excited. Yeah, that's how I would be too. If I, I'd just be like, if I got past the steps, I would be one of those people that Matt Nachbar would be like, just clearing one obstacle is winning. Like, yeah. But she had a really good recovery on the spin cycle.
Yeah, it seemed as though she could have gotten through it a lot faster, but she had a lot of hesitation. It seemed like she wasted a lot of strength there, unfortunately. But she did manage to get through it, which is still pretty impressive.
Yeah. Matt Nachbar laid it on a little thick with saying no woman has made it this far. They said it every time she took one more step. It's like, no woman has made it to this inch of the course. Remember, no woman has made it to this inch of the course. Like,
as the woman that makes it the furthest, like this is why clearly that they had to promote her so much. Like they have to have at least one woman be like the star of each episode.
They must make history.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the only reason that they even introduce new obstacles year after year, so they can say that this is the first woman who's made it to this obstacle.
Yeah.
So there can constantly be history, even if no woman qualifies.
All history.
Yep.
History in the making. But yeah, she had no chance on that pipe fitter. She knew it immediately. She was like, as soon as she grabbed on to the middle parts, she was just like, nope, this isn't happening.
There was like nothing she could have done differently. She just didn't have the strength.
Yep.
And part of that is, you know, I think if she was just in a gym and was like, here's the pipe fitter, go do it. She maybe could, but like you said, she just spent so much energy on the spin cycle.
Yep.
Because I mean, we saw her doing like one-armed push-ups in her, or, I mean, pull-ups in her package. Like she's got arm strength. She just wasn't ready for this.
Yep. And down she went. Next was Kenneth. Oh man.
Nimitalo.
Yeah. Sure. He. Oh man. This guy. He's the 29-year-old construction worker. What a story. This is a crazy story.
Yeah, there are three types of competitors in this Atlanta qualifying. There's really large people,
yeah.
There are crazy people, and there are people with just incredibly sad stories.
Mm-hmm. And interesting with this guy, too, because he was also an incredible athlete. So it wasn't just a sob story. And this is what I want to see from American Ninja Warrior. Like, great story that's going to attract all, you know, the casual viewers, but also an incredible athlete.
Yeah, this was not a pat on the back run.
Exactly. His daughter, Hazel, she has a medical condition that I'm not going to try to pronounce. Her kidneys don't work and she needs new ones. And he lived in the hospital for 11 months taking care of his daughter. Just recently got her to be released and got her home. I cannot imagine just dealing with any of that, but still managed to train while he was in the hospital. He's another one who trains with Jeff Britton, and apparently that training has done him a world of good.
Yeah, he found creative ways to use places in the hospital for training, and his daughter is now finally on the transplant list. He has a really creative approach to the pipe fitter where he he moves his arms pretty far along before he lets his legs go of the first pipe that you're allowed to use your legs on, and then pushes off.
Yeah.
So that it swings to the other pipe and he can just grab it.
Yeah, this is kind of like the perfected technique that we saw Crazy Craver start, where mm-hmm. he really used like the full momentum to get across in the least amount of moves, and definitely very impressive to see.
Yeah.
Next up, I feel like this guy was probably production's favorite.
This guy. Weird juxtaposition of packages, right?
Yeah.
Like most serious to absolutely least serious.
Caleb Watson, the 35-year-old dairy farmer. My first thought when I saw this guy on a second watch was, is this guy Mike Holloway from Survivor?
Oh my God. explain my distaste. I don't eat dairy, so I couldn't even watch this package. This grossed me out so much.
So you weren't a fan of Christine asking if he needed to thank his cows for the performance?
I love cows. I'm all for them getting some gratification. But like actually watching that, oh my God, I couldn't. The milking of the cows is so gross. I had to close my eyes.
So yeah, he trains all over his farm. He has a bunch of interesting ways of training. I guess it works for him. I mean, even his friend, David Coffey, he has some sort of fur hat on and leopard print sunglasses.
Oh, I thought he was wearing a fake mullet.
It was some sort of like fur hat thing, I think.
Looked like a mullet.
it probably did. But yeah, I feel like the main strength of this guy's run is that he had no hesitation. He just barreled through everything so quickly. He didn't even have time to get tired and for his muscles to wear out because he just flew through it.
Yeah. He did have a pretty good t-shirt, in my opinion. It was really poorly made because it looked like he just wrote on a white t-shirt with Sharpie, much like Mike Holloway's back tattoo. but his shirt said, "Give me this mountain," which his name is Caleb, is a quote from Caleb in the Bible, and obviously relevant to Mount Midoriyama. So I thought that was pretty clever.
That is pretty clever.
We saw a lot of t-shirts tonight. One listener pointed out how many t-shirts Jeff Britton alone was wearing, and he wasn't even running.
They kept changing them, yeah.
Every run.
Yeah, I like to imagine that he's just like wearing layers from the start, and with each competitor, he just like peels off a t-shirt.
Yeah. So he starts out looking really buff.
Yeah. Not that he needs it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he flew through the spin cycle. He goes backwards through part of the pipe fitter. But like I said, he goes so fast that doesn't even have time to get tired. He's very sloppy on the warped wall, but makes it up anyway. And he manages to get the fastest time by just under a second.
Yeah. I mean, and when they ask him you know, how did you go so fast? He says, in school, if I studied long, I studied wrong.
Yeah.
So he's always learned to do things efficiently, I guess.
And apparently it served him well with t-shirt making and grammar.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
We had another Akbarism where he's, I don't even remember what obstacle it is, but Akbar says, hold on with those milking forearms. Oh, so disgusting. So colorful.
Oh, man, you're going to have so much fun if this guy continues to make it further in the show.
That really grosses me out. But this is where I started realizing that we might be entering the era of you have to be a little bit insane to do well on this course, because the insane people have really taken the night.
Yep. And unfortunately, we see a non-insane person go next, JJ Woods. He's just not crazy enough.
I have heart eyes for this guy. So I was so sad about this.
And they built him up too. Like, he talked about how just a small hesitation cost him on stage two, and he really wants to do better this time, and he's been training, and he's gone on the paleo diet, and he just one small slip up on the Big Dipper, and just like that, he's out.
Yeah, he did the reverse grip, and it ended up being that one side of the bar, the side that he was pushing on, I believe that his hand was facing out, he just pushed too far and the bar was so uneven. One side was way out in front of the other side. And he just had this unbelievable exit where he just goes straight into the water and it's just like stunned silence.
Yeah, it just, you know, something happened where I guess either the pipe moved a lot easier than he thought it would, and so that one side came out way too quickly. And then in trying to correct it, he just lost all of his momentum and he wasn't able to get off the bar in time. Or, you know, maybe it was just part of the bar got stuck on his way down. Like, it could have been a number of things, but as he said, you know, it could happen to anyone, and it just happened to happen to him this time. Very unfortunate. I hope that we get him as a wild card, but I believe that they don't usually bring people on as wild cards if they fail this early on the qualifying rounds.
Yeah, unless you're Casey Catanzaro.
Unless you're Casey Catanzaro. If you're a guy and you fail this early, right, you're in a lot of trouble.
But he did manage to get some gum immediately after falling. And I did like that he said to Christine that he will be coming back as long as they let him. Which,
yeah,
with recent trends, who knows?
I think that's why he said it, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I really hope they do, because he is really talented and very handsome and very dedicated.
Well, the thing is, they can't bring back Flip without JJ.
Yeah, hopefully.
But yeah, then we finally get the people we've been hyped up for all episode long. Two of my favorites, James McGrath and Drew Dreschel. They're roommates. I believe that they became roommates last year. And it looks like James McGrath, his job title was personal trainer this time. So maybe he's moving up in the world.
Maybe.
Or it's just personal trainer because he's in between like ice cream scooping jobs.
Or because he personally trains himself.
Yeah.
For American Ninja Warrior. So he's a very personal trainer. It's just him. We had another really overproduced segment where they're doing a road trip down to Atlanta together.
Yeah.
Drew Dreschel and James McGrath. And it's like, they're the odd couple roommate. And Drew's all uptight. And James is crazy. And it's them in the car with James just being like the most annoying person in the world with a strange woman in the back.
That was my favorite part. It was probably like Drew's girlfriend or something, but it's hard to tell because she's like hiding behind the driver's seat for half the segment.
Yeah. She like pokes her head out once in a while and they're like, no, get back there.
Yeah.
Like, who is this woman?
Oh, man.
But yeah, I imagine that that's not really their dynamic. Otherwise, how could you be friends with James McGrath? He's just bothering Drew while he's driving.
Well, hopefully it's not usually when he's driving, because we don't want anything to happen to these guys.
Yeah, and not to keep harping on fashion, but James McGrath does have the best t-shirt. The Just Be Stitch shirt.
It's very good.
I really liked the tank tops that the women were wearing. I would get one of those.
How do you feel about James McGrath's hair?
Oh, it's nice. I am Jewish, so I do prefer the curls.
I just like he has like a different hairstyle every time I see him. I think it's interesting.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I don't know. He's a good looking guy. He's handsome. His hair looked good. That's my hot take.
All right.
On James Acrosshair. I didn't notice it at all. But anyway, he had nothing really to say until the, well, nothing really to say the whole time, but the pipe fitter, he had really kind of clunky but effective technique on the pole fitter. It was not the most graceful approach we've seen.
Yeah, he like holds on to the first one with one arm and then kind of like moves up the second one, right? So he can swing over. But I'm not sure if that really helped much because he still had to hold on like one arm at a time and like he was still doing the movement. So I'm not sure it was that beneficial, but probably one of those things where he felt like in theory it would have worked, but in practice it was didn't really make much of a difference.
I think what might have happened is he might have overestimated how much they can swing. Because they swung a little bit, but like really those, the chains that were holding them were really tight. And they couldn't, you couldn't get like any pendulum action on it. So I think he was hoping that he could like pull it towards him more than he could, but they were a lot more stationary than he anticipated. So it ended up looking kind of inefficient.
Yep. But still manages to easily clear the course.
Oh yeah.
Not in the fastest time, but Matt points out of the fastest times of the night.
Among them.
Yes, among them. And then next we get Drew Dreschel. Love Drew Dreschel. He's amazing. He's so good. He's so good.
Yep. This is my winner pick.
I think that's probably a good winner pick. I think he might be my winner pick as well.
Yeah.
If I can't pick Jeff.
You can pick Jeff.
Maybe Joe. I think if Joe can figure out that crazy cliffhanger, I think Joe can make it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is definitely one of those things where they all had the beast shirts and then they quickly like changed them to the real life ninja shirts.
Yeah. Which I'm just saying are not as well designed as the Just Beasted shirts. I'll
just
say
get
it.
On that.
Yeah.
I loved all the athletes who are cheering on these two guys out of nowhere. Like you didn't even see these guys throughout the entire episode. Like Joe with like the Beasted sign.
Oh yeah.
And so many people in the audience cheering for him that we didn't even realize were there.
Yeah. Who's covering the weather in Joe's hometown? Are those people, do they know what's going on?
They're just weatherless.
Yeah, it seems like Joe is always away. How do these people know what's going to happen?
They have to go without the knowledge.
Yeah, all these people that go to all these places, I wonder about their jobs. But anyway, yeah, Drew Dreschel finishes with the fastest time by 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Which is...
I thought had the best Big Dipper performance that we saw, personally. He moved the net out of the way as he lands on the platform.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Incredible.
Didn't even need it.
Obviously incredible. I mean, we saw what he can do flinging himself on the All-Star special. So clearly one of his specialties. He's another person like we saw this last time toward the end of his run. He was being somewhat careful where right toward the end of the run, he was just like, all right, I want to get the fastest time. Let me just like speed through the rest of this.
Yeah.
And he like flew off of the pipe fitter. Right down to the warped wall and just went straight up it. Amazing.
Yeah, and he mentioned in his interview that he had had pneumonia for 3 weeks before this. That is really scary. I've had pneumonia, and that is terrifying that he had it seemingly pretty close to when this was supposed to happen. It seemed like he was nervous he wouldn't be able to compete.
Yeah, and luckily, you know, this was filmed, I think, at least a few months ago. So, and in the Las Vegas finals are being filmed, I think, next week. So that's plenty of time to recover for the Vegas finals, assuming he makes it, which, come on, he's going to make it.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully that's plenty of time to recover, and he's going to, like, really, really kill the main course.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the episode. I thought it was pretty good. I thought we had some great backstories, some crazy people. We got Drew Dreschel at the end. Something I noticed in the final listing was that Brett Sims cleared the course. We didn't see anything of Brett Sims. He's never really been a huge presence on American Ninja Warrior, the NBC version, but he was one of the guys from way back, the like American Ninja Challenge thing. He went to Sasuke. He always wore the American flag shorts. He hadn't had a lot of success on American Ninja Warrior until recently. He's been doing a lot better. And so I hope that we get to see more of him eventually. And we also saw 27 people complete the course. So yeah, only three people who didn't complete the course managed to make it to the finals. And one of them was our dentist who failed at the warped wall.
Yeah, I was happy to see him make it. I enjoyed him.
Yep. So overall, I feel like this is probably an easier course than the last one. There were a lot of finishers. There were just a couple of places like the Big Dipper and the Pipe Fitter where just a little mistake could have slipped you up. But yeah, overall, good episode.
Yeah, solid episode. Disappointed by no women qualifying, but you know, you'll have that, I guess, even though this is the year of the woman for the third time in a row. I guess it's still not quite there in every city. But going to Indianapolis next week, where we're going to see some race car drivers that I'm bound to not like.
Yes, and we're going to see some of the Wolfpack competing there. Brian Arnold.
Finally.
And, Megan Martin.
Yes.
I don't know if Ian Dory is also going to be there, but they didn't promote him. Hopefully he will. They, by the way, have an amazing podcast called the Wolfpack Ninja Podcast with Noah Kaufman, who everybody should be checking out. They don't just talk about Ninja Warrior, but they do lots of interviews, and Noah is an incredible interviewer, and they talk about health and fitness and all sorts of things. Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I second that.
And so that's our show. We finally have our own iTunes feed for just this Ninja Warrior recap podcast for RHAP. If you want to support us, please go there and subscribe to it. Even give it a rating if you want, any rating you want, but preferably a good one.
May we suggest 5 stars?
Yeah, you know, just a suggestion, casual suggestion. Yeah, and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Lita is at newsaf_intern.
Yep.
Send us feedback, questions, anything you want. We will be very responsive. Anything else?
Nope. I think we nailed it.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time. The episodes are moving to Monday, so hopefully a little earlier in the week. And yeah, see you there.
Thanks, guys.